Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Father. Welcome, Jesus. Thank you. We welcome your people in Jesus' wonderful name. Can you just turn to somebody and say to them, Jesus is here and anything can happen. Come on. Good evening. God bless you. Give the worship team a hand of praise. Then you may be seated. The Lord bless you. I bring you greetings from my first wife, my last wife, my only wife. Roji sends a love and a greetings. God bless you. Can you give yourselves a hand of praise for coming to the house of God? Amen. There's nothing better than you, Lord. Wow. You've enjoyed last night? We're going to trust God to go a little bit further with Jesus. And then let's trust God for Holy Ghost revival in your life, in mine. Revival is not a corporate thing, really. Revival is really for dead people. Oh, yeah. Lord, revive me. That means what was once alive has lost its life, and now it needs to be restored. Revival is not for men and women that has fallen in love with Jesus. We live in revival. We live in the glory of God. And we don't say it lightly because there's a price to these things. Amen? You see, if you want to see Jesus, you must understand in the here that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. You see, death is not God's enemy. Death is God's platform from which he brings out revelation of his presence, his glory, his power and his might. The reason for that is because God always wants to show death that he's in charge. He works all things together for good. To them, not just for everybody. To them that love him. That's the test. Some people love their ministry more than Jesus. Some people love... there's a generation today that thinks success is based on good preaching. No, success with Jesus is based on deep fellowship. You know, the old writers, the hymn writers, used to say, friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. And the issue is, tell somebody Jesus is now going to speak, don't disturb me. Let's go to John chapter 16, verse 13 to 14. And let me encourage this generation today and everybody of us. Never, never get taken up with people that use one scripture for something. Amen. Don't waste your time about it. The lack of God's word in people is a sure sign of the depth of the Holy Ghost moving in that life. No word, no power. The more word of God is in me, the more of God there'll be in me. And I'm not talking now just about I studied six verses. No, let me tell you, when you become the word, you'll be like Jesus facing the devil in your wilderness. And you're not going to look for a scroll. It's going to come out of your heart and you will quote Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, verse 3. And you will say, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let me tell you something. If that word is in you, you don't need to go home to pray and fast for the devil to leave. Now, Jesus never said, bring me your boy tomorrow. I just need to spend some time in prayer. Wow. Jesus was not the kind of Jesus they taught us. I was 20 years old and God touched my life in a very sincere manner through what? 11-year-old. It's so good when you look at Jesus. Last night I spoke about why Jesus had to leave. Tonight I want to just take us a little bit closer to the fact the Holy Spirit is here. What's next? What's next? Am I going to live all my life living in the greatness and the shadow of other people's great testimonies? What about you, brother? The sun shines on everybody and everybody has their own shadow. I mean, somebody's got to remember that you were their father. It's like today, I got a clip from Annabelle. Dad, Brenty sent it to me. He says, hey, Dad, you must listen to this. Hey, she had taken up, after she was touched and filled with the Holy Ghost, she came up and she started to say, the Lord took me into his kingdom. That's a 10-year-old. And I spoke in other tongues and the Lord has touched me. And I said to him, you know what, B? Let me tell you something. The essence of what God does has got nothing to do with age. Because in eternity, how old can you be in eternity? For heaven's sake, there's no Monday there. You see, when eternity comes into time, you have in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So our science people have all three elements to help them prove whether God has really created the heavens and the earth. If you're a scientist, you really need three kind of elements. Number one, you need time. Number two, you need space, and you need matter in order to prove a fact. God gives that all of that in verse 1. For the Hebrew kind of guys that speak Hebrew, I'm not so sharp on, but I know like Bereshit bara Elohim says it differently than English. English says in the beginning God created. The original language says in the beginning created God the heavens and the earth, which simply means your function precedes your title. You got to firstly function and show God that what you are carrying of God doesn't need a title. It just needs recognition. That's all it needs. And then the fact that God does that brings you into something that says, if you've seen Jesus, you should have a revelation of the Father. You see, when Jesus is the door, brother, and you come to the door and that door is Jesus, and you meet bitterness, Jesus is not the door. Because the door called Christ, when the door is the Messiah and you open up that door, you'll find the Father. Calvary is not about getting me out of my sin only. Calvary is about removing my sin so I can meet Daddy God. That's the issue. That's the real deal. The real deal is I don't need an angel to visit me. I need God the Father to be over my life. Because some people get stuck up at the door and they never enter the house. That's why you're backslidden. You get used to the doorknob. It's cold outside the house. Like it is tonight. It's cold out there. It's nice and warm in here. I want to say some stuff and make the devil upset. It's okay. We have a mutual understanding. He's got his own agents. Yeah, they're all over the place. It's just they don't look so glorious anymore. You know, when you sin, sin takes away your beauty, brother, sister. But let's go to Jesus before it's just all about me. John chapter 16, verse 13 to 14. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, somebody say with me, the Spirit of truth has come. Now listen what Jesus says. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority. And whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. You know, Jesus have a tendency to take one sentence and you write encyclopedias about it. Like I just have seven leadership principles out of one verse. Jesus is not your normal leader. You see, the further you get away from Jesus, the further away you will be from the Father. I love Paul very much. I think Jesus became revealed to Peter as the Messiah. He had a revelation, but Paul was a carrier. That's why Paul writes, I went from synagogue to synagogue, not trying to be hectic, but I went from synagogue to synagogue to prove from the scriptures, not my opinions, that Jesus is the Messiah. that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now you can have opinions. We're not going to get moved by your opinions. You got to tell us what the reference of who the Messiah is must come from the scriptures. It cannot come because he just says, I'm building a church. It must come because he's prophetically fulfilling the programs of God that was prophesied for many years. If there was no Christianity, I'd be a Jew. Why? Because at least not one guy sat down and tried to create a religion. This is many years of people not knowing each other. How can Micah the prophet know what Isaiah prophesied about when Isaiah had to wait 700 years to find what? To find the baby born in a stable from the time that he got the word from God. Never think that prophecy is meant for a time of your choosing. Can you imagine that Isaiah never saw Mary? So that means he died false. Do you know Ezekiel never saw Jesus? Daniel never saw him. So they all died false prophets. God prophesied there will be the seed of a woman that will crush the head of the serpent. There was no seed of the woman until Jesus was born. But the day Christ was born, the day he was birthed in Bethlehem. Isn't it amazing the bread of life must come out of the house of bread? Isn't it amazing that God must choose Joseph, meaning Jehovah adds, and takes Mary bitterness, brings it together to produce the Messiah? Why? Because the Messiah must come out of your bitterness. Connected with the God who heals you from your bitterness. And then when your baby is about to be born, there's a time that with your broken body bleeding as a woman, you got to take your dream, you got to protect the Messiah and get on a donkey and go for miles with a bleeding body to Egypt. And that scripture has to be fulfilled because of Hosea's prophecy. I called my son out of war and made Egypt his refuge. And I will come back to Egypt to say, isn't amazing that God makes Jesus feel what Israel felt for 400 years. This is not cheap. I'm trying to tell you, church is not the place where you hang out. Church is where the place where you become what God intended you to be. That's what church is really all about. You don't have to look holy. You just have to believe you're holy. Listen, he will guide you into all truth. This is the Holy Ghost. You know what Jesus is saying to me? Jesus is saying, you know, every time you open up the scriptures, Neville, I've given you a teacher to help you to know me better. No, everything about the Bible is about Jesus. Everything. I can show you, I can go through from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about the Messiah, the Christ. So what qualified Jesus to be authorized to be the Christ? Besides him fulfilling prophecy, you must just get this basic one right. Number one, he had to deal with separation from God. That's why you don't have to look for a ministry if you're in the church. Our ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. So why are you always asking, God, what have you called me for? Really? I don't care whether you bake a cake. Are people reconciled with God? What did he call you for? Gave you a desire. The end result is how many sinners got saved. And the other thing is how many demons felt your presence today? How many kingdoms fell just because you woke up? Or are you just waiting for church to make you feel good, look good? No, it's much more than that. It's much more than that. Is it about how much money I have? No. Let me tell you something. You must have all the money in the world for what God wants you to do, but nothing is leaving with you. Your coffin is too small to put your Merc into it, or your Porsche, or your 8-bedroom house. There's no room in your coffin for it. You must enjoy everything on the earth that God has blessed you with. Use it for His glory and make no apology about it. Make no apology about it. Why? Because some people taught us in my generation, they taught us the poorer we look, the more holy we sound. Wow. Imagine. Amen. Even our president's children. Imagine your father is Bill Gates. Are you going to make apology for the blessing of the father in your life? Why must we as God's sons make an apology for God's blessing on our lives? And then secondly, why should sinners run the country God made it? He created the nation. We were told, don't hang out in government. The church and government has no kind of synergy, really. It's no wonder sinners are telling your children what to believe. Because sons are not running the country. People who must come out of darkness into God's glorious light, we must reach them so that sonship can rise up. We're not looking for a Christian country. We're looking for a righteous country. Righteous men and women to rise up in this hour. Why? Because there's much more to God than you and I thinking it's all going to happen. It's all going to change. It's only going to change when you change. The ANC, the EFF, all these political parties can't change you. But the Christ can give you a heart that changes you to be a, not just a history maker, but a transformer of bringing to others a better life, a better hope. And God, the Holy Ghost, can do that. Why? Our kingdom is different. Oh, yes. He will guide you into all truth. You know what it really means? It means He will reveal every truth that is in you. Go read the original languages. You'll see. He will reveal what's within you. Let me give you a key. God never works firstly on you. Everything of God first happens in you. Never even here. Listen, I'll show you. Let us go back to the original intent. Go to Genesis 1:26. Then God said, I just love this. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let me put that thing together for us. If God, who is almighty, see, the question I want to answer is, what's next? After you meet Jesus, after the Holy Ghost, what's next? If God, who is almighty, has made up his mind to have a corporate effort in the earth, what makes you think your eye is going to make a difference? I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Listen, that is a satanic environment. I will exalt myself. I will. That's why I see all these folk that have got no other business to do but worry about other people's business. We call them in the Bible busybodies. They're busy with other people's bodies. You know? We got other stuff to do than to worry about. What did you say? When did you say it? How did you say it? Why did you say it? Oh, for heaven's sake, brother, if Jesus... I had somebody phone me on and was tremendously traumatized by a demonic present in their home. Phones me and says to me at 1 o'clock in the morning, my husband doesn't look okay. I said, excuse me, can you firstly introduce yourself, man? I know you know who I am because you called me, but I don't know who you are. And she said to me, Pastor Goldman, I think my husband is having a demonic challenge right now and I don't know how to handle it. I asked, are you saved? She says, no. I said, is he saved? She says, no. I said, you know what, lady, don't phone me 1 o'clock again. Really? She asked me why. I said, you see, your God shows up and he freaks you out. And then you wake me up to get my God, to get your God out of your house. Because if your God, if it was Jesus that came into my house, do you think I'd phone you at 2 o'clock in the morning? I'd be worshiping God because I'm not going to wake you up when my God shows up. There's only two kingdoms. There's only two kingdoms. You're either in the kingdom of God or you are in the kingdom of darkness. There's nothing in between. You're either a son of God or you're a son of the devil, or you're a son of God who lost your way with God, being used of the enemy. Sons are builders of the family name. And I said to him, come, I teach you on the phone quickly how to get that devil out of your house. I said, I'm going to pray for you. Leave your husband. Let him scream and shout like I hear him. And I said, that's fine. It's okay. They love attention. So I pray for her. And while I'm praying for her, she either fell. I don't know what happened really. But the phone went quiet. I just heard noise. And then I put the phone down. So I said to Roj, honey, I don't think we're going to sleep tonight. They're going to phone again. And I said to her, love, if it was me, I wouldn't want a pastor to put a phone off the hook if I called for help. Put the phone on the hook. Jesus will give me the strength to face the day. We have the Holy Spirit. We've got Jesus. We got the Father. And if the day was a bit long, he can give me added time. Not a problem. She phoned back. She said, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. So I said, right, that's wonderful. So are you ready for the next? Because what is next is dependent on what went before it. You see, if you want power just so that you can speak in other tongues, but you're not delivering nobody, you're just a good model of the kingdom, but you're useless. To be honest with you, I'm just being open with you. I said to her, listen, I'm going to give you three weapons of the kingdom. The fourth one, I don't know if you got music in your house. Maybe anything that, and if not, then I'll just sing on the phone, I said to her. She said to me, yes, yes, what may I do? I said, number one, you haven't yet received Jesus, did you? She says, no, but I'm so desperate now, I'll receive him any day right now. So I said, no, you're honest. That's the way it goes, lovey. The truth sets us free. Don't be big deal and be deceptive, because otherwise I can't work with you. So she comes and she opens up her heart. She says, listen, I'm genuinely one Jesus, man. I said, no, come on. Now listen, you get up and you take the name of Jesus, because the glory of God is locked up in the name of God. So if you want the glory of God, if you want heaven to come into your home, you must respect the name of the Lord. That he who names the name of Jesus, let him depart from iniquity. That's the price we pay. So some people don't like us when we're holy. They think we must walk around looking like a sour lemon. Holiness has got nothing to do with the facial expression. Holiness has got to do with the language of the kingdom. That's why when the glory of God enters a place, we don't say how great thou art. No, that's the language of praise. When it comes to I love you, Jesus, that's the language of worship. But when it comes to holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's the language of the glory. It's the language that says heaven and earth. No, the earth is full of your glory. So I say to the Lord, Father, this lady is the only channel I have for you to work through. Use her for your glory. And I say to her, the second weapon is walk in your home. He doesn't understand it because he's screaming. Don't worry about him. Because you know how it is, the manifestations draw our attention more than our preparation. So she walks in the home and I said, no, go right past him and say, Lord, I clean my house with the blood of the Lamb. Because if the blood can be on the doorpost of an Israelite and death passing over it, you are the same God today, yesterday, and forever. You are still the same. Heal my home. She said, must I do that now? I said, we do it one step at a time. Now you take the name of Jesus and you say you're going to bind that devil. It's coming. It's leaving my husband. We're coming to it. Just walk in your house. I wait for you to come back. So she must have walked in the home. Didn't know how to do it. How many of you know? Sometimes ignorance is a blessing. She comes back. The husband's screaming. I hear on the phone. She comes back. She takes the phone. She says,
I tell you, I went right into the kitchen. I was in my bathroom. I went through my rooms. I was just saying, like you said, I declared the blood of Jesus all over the place. I said, oh, wonderful. Now the next one. Take the word of God. Now this is for you and your husband. I said, walk down the passage. And says, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you. I said, say it a couple of times with me before you move. I said, then don't be religious. Have you got a Bible in your home? She says, yeah, but I've never opened it. I said, it's okay. There's an index. Go to the index. Go look for Luke chapter 10, verse 19. There's a page number. Take your time. If you find it, come back. She went to fetch the Bible. Can you imagine that time of the morning having so much fun? Wow, having a Bible study that time of the morning. You know, cut a long story short, like all of us say, and then we continue with a long story. But nevertheless, you know how powerful it is when somebody just finds Christ, gets taught how to cast out the devil, just finds the glory of God. Who's going to tell that woman Jesus is not alive? Who's going to tell her there is no God? Who's going to convince her that this is about church? No, it's more than church. It's let your kingdom come and let your will be done. That's God. Have your seats. One of the powerful things is her husband comes out of this thing. Did you know that we're not even worried about who you are? We just want your freedom. We never ask people to give us a whole pedigree of who they are. Just get free, brother. I want to bring you one more thought out of it, because if he leads you into all truth, it's what's on the inside. I know the language is a bit, let them have dominion over the fish. Say with me, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I always want to read the word finish. Do you know the word over? It's a very bad English word in the context. You know, when you read the original language, it will say bereshit, meaning bear means in, not at. In other words, if you say in the beginning, it means in a container containing everything I need, God brought out the heavens and the earth. That's why Jesus is right in the first verse. He is the one who says, I am the beginning. So if you take the beginning out of verse 1, it reads, in Christ, God created the heavens and the earth. And Apostle John comes later and says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And nothing that was made without Him. If you look at it, now that same little word is used in Genesis 1:26. For example, over the fish in Hebrews, it actually says bedag, meaning inside the fish. So all your power and authority that you possess and that I possess is not over something, it's in something. It's inside of it. So when we speak and you speak, you change things from the inside, not from the outside. You speak into something, and that's when it changes. That's when it takes on the shape of who God is. God doesn't take my worship from my lips. He takes my worship from what's in me, from my spirit. They that speak in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. Howbeit in the spirit, mysteries are deposited. Therefore, he who prays in an unknown tongue, his spirit prays. And Jesus gives a woman at the well a key that possibly will help you with your worship. He says, he meets her and he says, I want to tell you what the Father is looking for. He's looking for somebody to worship him in spirit and in truth. Let me tell you something. When you connect with God spirit to spirit, that's when time doesn't feature anymore. I looked today, it was a glorious day today. In fact, I told the young lady, don't clean my room today. it's already clean. Don't clean it, please. You mustn't even worry to come into my room. I just love you enough to give you a break. Have a Kit Kat. Enjoy the whole day. It's okay. Why? I'm about something bigger than my bed. Oh, yes. You see, when you get married to your wife and you didn't get married to her because she's a photograph in your house, you will miss her because of her presence. You see, I don't become a Christian to find a church. I became a Christian to find the presence of God in the church. Because Jesus is the head of the church, and I will stay in his church. I will not be at my house because I'm a pastor or an apostle. I only became what I am now with titles and stuff. But as a young man, my decision is, if God's got a body, I want to be in it. If God's got fire on the day of Pentecost, I don't want just tongues. I want tongues and the fire of God. If God, everything that God has for me, I don't want half of it. I want all of it. I don't want to be at a point of waiting. I want every part of it to be my inheritance. Let me say to you, this is the Holy Spirit. What next? You must learn to know that the Spirit of God is not a ghost. He's a He. And to qualify to be He, you must have a personality of feelings. You must be able to kind of communicate. And that's why some people feel that, because we were taught, you don't speak to the Holy Spirit, He's a ghost. But you read Casper the Friendly Ghost from a kid. And you know how I call a demon friendly. There's no friendly demons, I promise you. But in any case, we're not there tonight. But in any case, the part I want to go to is, Jesus says, you see, the Holy Spirit, Prophet Leon, he's prophetic, man. Jesus says he will tell you things to come. So just think about it. You have no fellowship with him. How will you know what tomorrow holds? How will you have insight to what decision you must make for your business to shift from bankruptcy in a time of no economic strength to become the business in town? How will you know that without the Holy Ghost? You see, it's nice. It's a nice cliche to say it's not by might nor by power. But if you go into that scripture in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, it's an angel that comes to the man Zerubbabel and comes to him and says to him, let me tell you something. I'm a testimony. I stand in the presence of God Almighty. And I want to tell you how God Almighty works. I want you to understand, you, Zerubbabel, you are a descendant of a lineage that wants to reach God without God. That's why you come from the Tower of Babel. Your parents and your predecessors tried to build a tower to reach God. And the irony is, God decided the only way you can reach God is through the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Any other way is a thief and a robber's direction. And so the angel says, let me tell you what I've witnessed watching God work. This is how he works. It's not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit. So I thought about it. How will he glorify Jesus? I must close now. You see, what is next? It's very important. Why? Because you can live with your previous stuff and never move with what's next. You're comfortable with the known. You're just not comfortable with the unknown. God does not live in the known. He lives in the unknown. Every time I've achieved something, it becomes an historical fact. And God gets acknowledged and he receives the glory. But when I finish it, he's got something next. My son's already asked me this. You know, sometimes when the pressure's on, the worst thing in leadership is to help a concrete people what an unseen thing looks like. You're going to go alone, brother. Believe me, let them tell you what they want to say to you. This life of you being a leader, you know, today we all want to be the leader. In the days of Jesus, nobody wanted to be an elder even. Because they're going to kill you, brother, for heresy. You telling me that Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, is the Messiah that Isaiah spoke about? Are you thinking we're okay to believe that? Do you understand that this Messiah that we are talking about, do you know who we're looking for? And you come up here with a whole bunch of you trying to tell us that this Jesus that we grew up with is the Messiah. And you know what makes it so tough? It's because they paid the price that I'm enjoying the blessing of. So I salute them. I think highly of Peter, James, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke. I regard them with the highest level of esteem. Why? Because, you know, I know we say when the high priest pulled open his clothing, you know, because Jesus was seen as a blasphemer. In actual fact, there's a part in many of us, in many of our Jewish brothers and sisters, that know that the high priest recognized that it is the Messiah that he was about to kill. So he pulled open his stuff and the remorse was great. But I'm going to show you something. The Holy Ghost, Jesus says, will glorify him. So when you're in ministry, when you're moving with God with signs, wonders, let everybody says there's nothing like signs, wonders, and miracles. It's okay. We leave them to kind of have their own vibe. But the day you have cancer leave your body, your theology will change. The evidence of God cannot be debated. Just one moment, one encounter with God will change all your negativity, will change everything about you, will change the way you think, will change your theology. It will change everything about how you see Him. Just one encounter with God. Let me take a story and just trust God for you. You know, the story is He will glorify me. Do you know what Jesus really meant? I know we understand it as being elevated. But do you know where His basis of His glorifying began? You'll find that in the scriptures. In John chapter 7 verse 39. For the sake of time, we don't have to go there. I'm not going to preach everything. I still got to get back tomorrow night. And so maybe the Lord is saying, Neville, don't be a bad farmer. If one sheep is in the house, don't give all the food to the one sheep. There's still 99 that didn't get here. Just keep the other food for the others. In any case, verse 39. Now this He said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. In that statement is the key of what moves the Holy Ghost. None of them had received the Holy Ghost because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So what was it that would give the Holy Ghost a sign that it's the time for Jesus to be glorified has come? Go with me to the scriptures. Go to John chapter 13, verse 26. Remember that wonderful feast where all the disciples are sitting together and Jesus says, one of you are going to betray me. Is one of you. I like the way Jesus puts it. You know, He could have just said, you know, Judas, Let me level up with you. I spent 3 years of my life with you, and you're going to sell out on me. No, He doesn't do that. He makes sure everybody's into introspection. Because if you're not with me, you're against me. And if you're against me, it's not big enough to stop me. Because I'm going to Calvary. Nothing is going to stop me. Why? I didn't get a mandate from you. My Father sent me. I'm a sent one, not a went one. I'm a sent one that has a mandate. Whether you like me or not, I'm going to finish this business that God has called us to finish. And I'm not being arrogant. The one who set me free from Satanism did not ask me 1,000 questions. He loved me to such an extent that I said, God, just tell me what we must do and we'll do it. So I work with 300 rand a month and nobody worried about me. Nobody worried where I was going to get my next piece of bread from. Nobody visited my home when I was sleeping on the street because of a sinner that I wanted to bring out of bondage. Nobody was in my home when people like Liver Hexie would walk into my home and I tell them, sleep in my home. No devil has power over me. And I will tell you, you will meet Jesus, you will meet the Holy Ghost. And I was not 40 years in Christ. I had just found life. I found something that money cannot buy. It's life, more life, abundant life from a God who can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I could ever think or ask for. So your question is answered in this scripture. Jesus, it is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. And so when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do it quickly. And when he had gone out, listen to this. Verse 31, just skip a few verses. When he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. This is another level of not elevation. This is the level of paying the price of the glory. See, the glory is not cheap. I want to take you to the arena. You see, on the sixth day, Prophet Leon, you and I and every man and woman in this place was created by God in his image. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, there was no sin. We were created in the glory. And our ultimate destiny is not to die in a coffin, but to die knowing we were living in the glory because of Christ. Because of Christ. But so Jesus says, for me to be glorified, I have to go to Calvary. It's amazing. Before Calvary, he's just Jesus. He's the Messiah. But after Calvary, he's given a name that is above every other name. And never before Calvary was he glorified as having to say, your name is bigger than Herod's. Your name is more powerful than any of the Roman leaders. No, after Calvary, the glorification for a man who pays the price is bigger than anybody on the planet. Nobody can stop the blessing of God when you pay the price. Why? Why? Even the devil must say amen when I stand up. Because we paid the price. Every year, not one year, and I say it by the grace of God, all those suckers that are critical about genuine generations that seek God, have you fasted for 40 days? I sound like a fool right now, and I speak like a fool. Have you taken every year of your life, given God 40 days and 40 nights without having to eat, but just live on juices? Because you are hungry for the glory of God to be manifested in the earth. You are hungry not for yourself. You are hungry for other people to find life. You are hungry for a man in a prison, a man who is rich, a man who is poor, a man who is educated, uneducated. You are hungry for that man to find the life that you have. How can you have the solution for cancer and you lock it up in your home? Wow. I told you last night, this kingdom only comes when demons leave. If I by the Spirit of God cast out devils, the kingdom has come near you. I'm not looking today for some casual inquirer. I want you to love people. Man, love people. Love people. I conclude with this, and this is the last conclusion. You ask me, Neville, what does God want from me tonight? I show you how God works, and then you go from here. We imparted into you last night, amen? I want that devil to fear you. Instead of you saying, oh, it's again the third way. And we're not unwise, folks. There's some guys, they don't want to bury people in the city where I come from. I bury them, brother, 3 a day. Because we're reaching souls at every one of them. Because who's going to argue about people and with people about Christ when you know the soak? Where's he going? I just walk up to the coffin and I say to them, you see this coffin? It's not the end. The body that carried this guy is in the coffin, but the guy was carried by this body, still very much alive. And I say to you, just like your car out there has an accident, and that body has, you know, panel beating you never paid for. You know, those kind of experiences where somebody drank too much and found your car as the way to get them to stop. And then you get out of the car. Do yourself a favor. Two examples I'm going to leave. Do yourself a favor. When you get out of your car and you feel frustrated with a dent in the side, the front is not looking so lekker anymore, and you get frustrated, tell yourself, the body of this car is messed up, but the driver is still okay. The driver is still okay. What makes us, what makes Smith Wigglesworth? What makes John G. Lake? I don't know them. I cannot live in their stuff. But one morning, Prophet Leon, remember I called you. I asked you, is there a descendant of Smith Wigglesworth anywhere? God wakes me up and says, in Smith Wigglesworth's lineage, there's sickness and disease in it. I'm asking myself, God, I read this man's book. This is 1800s. Where on the planet do I find a descendant who is majorly sick? And the Lord says to me, I owe it to that lineage to have healing, signs and wonders inside that place. Let me tell you something. That's why you can't break laws. I said to the traffic department when I did this stuff for them, I said to them, none of you here can break the Ten Commandments. And they knew I'm a pastor, so I just left it there. You know, for us as preachers, we make statements, we leave it there. You know what I mean? I mean, I wonder what he meant when he wanted to say it. Well, I carried on with public relations input for them. And then the one guy couldn't handle it anymore. And he said, sorry, man, I don't want to disturb the whole thing. I broke many of those Ten Commandments. I said, I see the Holy Ghost has come into the workshop. He's now moving with conviction. So I asked him, are you convicted about the stuff you did? What did you do? Do you want to tell everybody what you did? He says, no, I just want to know, how can you say nobody broke the Ten Commandments? I said, you're a traffic officer? He says, yes. You see, the wisdom of the Holy Ghost makes geniuses out of fools. That wisdom. So I said to him, okay, have you been in an accident? Have you ever gone and checked out the car? Went down an embankment, you got the paramedics, everybody there. Do yourself a favor, officer. Look at them, bring that body of the man that came out of that car, check him, put him on a stretcher, and then look on the sign of the road that says, sharp turn to the right. And you think, did he see the sign? Just ask him before he is pushed into the ambulance, tell him to look to his right. The sign is still there and it still says, sharp turn to the right. You see, the sign will remove you, but you will not remove the sign. The law will remove you, but you cannot remove the laws of God. The laws of God is going to be for a president. It will be for any ruler on the planet, and that law will stand. So what am I saying to you? That law is inside of me. That law lives in me. And then I phone around to find out, where is this lineage? My goodness, land up with Peter here in Johannesburg. Find out his wife. Serious challenges. I don't know Peter. I don't understand why God wants me to do this. I get up, I tell my wife, honey, I'm going to go on this assignment. I'm going to find this guy. I phone him and I chat to him. I said, I'm flying into Johannesburg. I'm going to pray for your family. Tell me about your family. That's how I knew she was sick. And then I said, I'm only coming in, and then I'm flying out the next flight. Same flight day, I want to come home, sir. He asked me, please, can't you just minister at church? And I said to him, "Are you got a church?" He said to me, "Yes." You know, I'll never forget, I can feel the presence of the Lord here. I'll never forget how I take Bradley to announce and to tell folk they must get the book on a more accurate way so they can understand the mind of God. So Bradley is trying to market this book, and eventually I look at him and I say, "The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. Leave the book. The book is not important right now." And Bradley starts preaching, man. And as Bradley starts to preach, the Spirit of God says to me, "Tell her now." While he's preaching. Can you imagine all that theology of the church? One oak talks, the other oak cannot talk. You must just check him out like that. And I said, "B, just carry on. We're going to use all the weapons of the kingdom. Just carry on." So he carries on, and I'm saying, "Just stand up, just stand up. Don't worry about anybody. Rabba shakan." You know how confusing it sounds? He's going this way, I'm going this way. And I don't even know what the people were thinking. But you know what? The Lord gives me a picture like a kippah. And the Lord says to me, "It's got nothing to do inside a body, right at the head. Get to the head." So as I get out there, what am I saying to you? He, the Holy Ghost, will reveal to you the truth. He will be the one that shows. Today, I'm not going to ask anybody, even for those freaks that want to always have evidence, they can go to Peter's house. You know what I mean? They can go to Peter's house. There's not a tablet in his home. Why? This God that we serve is not a Jesus that just teaches children to catch fish and teach them like fishing for Jesus. You know, we sing that chorus, but we've never led people to Christ in how many years? What am I saying to you? What is next is this. Take the Holy Spirit, get close to Him and glorify Jesus. Honor Christ, honor Him. When God blesses you, let me tell you, this is not about money. When God asks you to do something, stop ridiculing what's already said. How many times must Jesus say, "Go"? We actually go to theological college just to learn the meaning of a two-letter word called go. Takes us 4 years to learn just to go. And then you still come from going to coming. You want the pulpit. Listen, we didn't tell you to go to Bible school to get here. We told you to go to Bible school to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Christ. We told you to leave the comfort zone and find sinners, of which I am the chief, Paul says. I need to find sinners. I'm so addicted. Stay on your feet for a moment. You know, where's our worship team? Man, I feel God want to turn that gardens. Can we go there? I want God to take your graveyard tonight and bring resurrection power into it. I want you to go home. Let me tell you tonight. I want you to go home and forget about all your inhibitions. Go into your house and don't. Let me tell you how you reach people. Don't freak people out with stupid boldness. You know what I mean? Like, for example, you know what, Dad? I was in a meeting tonight. I want to tell you, no matter what they say, you might be to everybody, you are rubbish, but I love you, Dad. I really love you. Oh, my goodness. You know, when you want to go home, you watch Jesus. What would you love me to do for you? If you can just get that part right, you'll change the world. What would you love me to do for you? Let me tell you something. What would you love me to do for you? It's got a high price to it. You got to humble yourself to stay away from what they did to you to what you can do for them. How you can lift them up. When the Holy Ghost moves, if you have no love, don't pray for nobody. You're wasting your time. Don't even worry to pray for them. Faith works through love. And God is love. That's why when you look at somebody, how do you feel? Do you feel the way they feel? Or let's just do this. No, I want you to know the season has come for every one of us in this building to say, "Not God, don't look further than me. I'm going to bring to you now the prayer I'm praying. I'm going to pray. This afternoon while I was busy praying, God said to me, remember Bengo. And I said to the Lord, Bengo, Nicholas Bengo. And he says, remember, today there's 1,830 churches from a young Zulu who sat in a small cottage meeting with a missionary that came into that meeting and said, I just want to quote D.L. Moody's statement when he says, God must still find a man that is empty of himself and leaves the presence full of God. But God has found so many people full of themselves. And this missionary said, but I tell you, people that are full of themselves leaves the presence empty of God, but full of flesh. And she said in that meeting, God is looking for one man and one woman that has emptied themselves of themselves so that they can live full of God. While this missionary was still speaking, Bengo looked at her as a young man. He said, you don't have to tell God about any other man. I am that man. I am that man. I am that man. I am that man. Today, 1,830 churches out of I am that man. Can God the Holy Ghost today come and say, are you that woman? Are you that man that I can take today and bring freedom into Krugersdorp, bring freedom into Centurion, but more than that, bring freedom into your home. Come on, let's worship God and give Him the glory as we watch and move with the Holy Spirit. Give Jesus just a shout of praise right where you are. What's next? We are next, Lord. We are next after the Holy Spirit. We give you the glory. Everybody just pray in the Holy Ghost as the worship team leads us.
Cause I've searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Yes. Then you came along and you put me back together, and every desire now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. God, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. To show you my weakness,
my failures and flaws,
my failures and flaws. Lord, you see them all, and you still call me friend.
Yes, you do.
Cause the God of the mountain, He's the God of the valley.
There's not a place,
and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Nothing is better than you.
You turn morning to dancing.
Yes. give beauty for ashes.
You turn shame into glory.
You turn shame into glory.
You're the only one
who can. You turn mourning to dancing.
You
give beauty for ashes.
Thank you, Jesus.
You turn shame into glory.
In the building, son, there's some of you that did not have a real deal with your parents, a father-mother relationship. You know what I want you to do? This is how our kingdom works. We bless them, even that despitefully use us. It's not the norm. You know, Jesus's methods don't make sense, but they do work. Let me tell you how you're going to break this thing. I can feel the Lord is giving me the key. Number one, get confidence in your value, who you are. Feel it, right? And then secondly, when we pray for people that are sick in the church tonight, I want you to forget about me and everybody else. Are you with me? I want you to take your hand, put it on your body, and believe God for the pain to leave you. Amen. You do that. You do that. Come on, just right now, let's pray in the Spirit. I want to give that young man, that young lady, the freedom. Father, in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, cover every person now. In the name of Jesus, the shield of the blood. The blood of Jesus, remove everything. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And we give you the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise right now. In the name of Jesus, I declare tonight that no unclean thing will cross the bloodline of the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Receive your healing now. In the name of Jesus, that hurt that came because I don't have a daddy that loves me like I thought he should. I don't have a mom that really cared. It's okay. Jesus is the answer. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me. That's your scripture for now. And he has anointed me to set the captives free. Can you just call on the names of those that you might have felt, God, I need my freedom. I need my freedom from what so-and-so said. I need my freedom from the way they treated me. I need my freedom. And today the blood of the Lord is going to lift it up. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we lift it up right now, Father. In the name of Jesus. Now the next level, those that are sick in your body, lift your hand right where you are. You got sickness in your body, just where you are. If somebody's hand is up where you are standing, I just want you to believe God with me. We're going to make some noise in a moment. You know, let me tell you, to bring Lazarus out of his tomb, Jesus had to have a very loud voice. We are not here making noise because we need to kind of get energy in the house. No, the Holy Ghost is full of energy. He's full of power, full of glory, full of might. He's the Spirit of glory. And I want to let you just know, when we pray for you, believe it's Him. Amen. He's going to do that. You know, in this church, you are blessed with having a prophetic grace that can help you to face your tomorrows. Do you understand? And you also need to know that you carry a responsibility to do much more than what we can do in the house. There's how many houses here that will know the presence of God? Amen? Make your neighborhood. And I'm going to give you something to do tonight. The people, this is three things. Chris, you know what? God, the Father, is relational. He's relational. God the Son is generational. But God the Holy Spirit is inspirational. And He will give you something that you and I might not have the energy for, but He will. So I want you to have compassion. If somebody's standing close by you with their hand up, I want a brother or a sister close to them. Just put your hands on them. Come on, just where you are. Just put your hands on them. Don't worry about me right now. Because tomorrow night, Prophet, tomorrow night, we must have an anointing service, man. Eh? Yeah, everyone. We just trust God that the Lord will bring revival and take every man, every woman, and bring the life of God where you are, right? Don't worry about whether you're in Genesis or Revelation. You got to get the word in you anyhow. But let the Holy Ghost take you like that woman on the telephone. Just use me, God, for somebody else. Amen. Father, I pray now, everybody, pray in the Holy Ghost, and those that are laying hands on, I want you to do the following. To speak in the name of Jesus, be healed. Receive your healing. Even if somebody must ask, what is it you want God to do for you? Ask them. Ask them. There's nothing wrong with just asking, what's up? No, I have a pain in my back. Those pains are going to leave in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, we now declare the impartation of last night upon your people. We declare that it's going to be done in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Every man, every woman, receive your healing. In the name of Jesus the Christ, now receive your healing. Receive your healing. Receive your breakthrough from sickness and disease. Receive your healing. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you believe that God used you for their healing, I want you to step now by faith and say, Father, receive all the glory. Give Him a shout of praise. Receive the glory. Receive the glory. Receive the glory. Those chests open up. Receive the glory. Those arms that couldn't move, 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 move. In the name of Jesus, move. That ear that was plugged open and hear. In Jesus' name. Now, this is the next part. So if you pray, been prayed for, I want you to do what Jesus would have done. If the pain is still in your body, you don't have to lie. I know you want to, if you express your faith, it's fine. And are you with me? What I want you to do is check where they prayed for you, and then this is how you work the miracle. You do something you couldn't do before. Jesus would always say, let me put some mud on your face. But you go wash your face in the pool of Siloam. Stretch forth your hand like that. That's how He talks. Do you understand? And all, just watch this. I want you to trust the Holy Ghost. He's right here. Anybody that has been touched by God, I just want to use you as an example. If you've been touched by God, the pain left your body, let me just see your hand. Right? So many. Just one of you. Come up here at the back. Just come to me quickly. So many. Just come. I want to just come quickly. Just quickly. Get another person. Come. I just need two of you. Just come. God did something for you. Just want to show you something. Just come. Yeah, come around. Come around. Come around. Is there somebody else? Is there another person? I saw somebody else as well. Come up here to me. Is there anybody else as well? Just come. God did something for you. Just come. Don't worry about anybody. Just come. I'm going to show you something. Blessed Jesus. Let me say, I want you to see something. Just by the grace of God. This, you know, I'm not a person for spectacular things. I'm just committed to revealing the Christ. Are you with me? Listen, what was wrong with you?
I was diagnosed with cervical cancer. I had an operation on the 22nd of this month. On the 21st. So I had pains. I wanted to come yesterday, but I couldn't because I had pains.
You had pains in your body? There's no pain there, right? Now, isn't that wonderful? Now let me tell you. You see, Jesus would be doing exactly what we are doing now. You know what, Jesus? They make us feel like Jesus don't feel for us, man. Let me tell you, this is my Jesus. My Jesus will say like this, Peter, James, John, this is what it's all about. This is what it is all about. Peter, James, John, this is it. This is it. That's the excitement of the Christ. It's not about, oh, I check you, all right. Bring her close to me. Bring her here. Every devil out of the pit of hell, I break your power. I destroy it. What happened to you? Come closer. Come closer. Now, you know what, sweetheart? You just enjoy your life. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. What happened to you? Let me give you your space. What happened?
I hurt my back. In January, my
your
back,
okay.
My lower back. Mm-hmm. And it was fine.
Now, let me help them. I said something. I just want to educate, right? You see, when you say you hurt your back, I said, okay. No, it's not okay. Mm-hmm. Do you understand?
Yes.
Jesus never agreed with sickness and disease. Why? If you agree, it's going to stay. Because if you agree upon anything that is touching, mm-hmm. it shall be done. You got to be careful. Oh, I see you blind. They don't even worry to pray. They're going to stay blind. What happened? Your back is...
No, so it was fine, uh-huh. And then last week, just before the conference in Centurion, I woke up one morning and the pain was 10 times worse than it was before. Mm. And every time they call people out for healing, I would go. And then it goes away and comes back, it goes away and it comes back. And the last 2 days, it came back again. And it's gone now.
And it's now gone. Now let me tell you something. You know, some people say, that's so wonderful. You know, some people say you must have a stomach like mine to have a back problem. Look how skinny you look.
I receive.
What am I saying? Church, everyone in this building can work with the Holy Spirit if you just have the boldness to say, let's go one more time. You know what? You know when my faith for healing started? Not that God has called me for just the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. My mom had a growth in a very awkward place of her body, as large as a tennis ball. And I was a young boy, 20-year-old, came out of my room and the Lord said to me, your mom has got a growth. I went into a room. I said, Mom, can I talk to you? I see you have difficulty walking. And she looked at me and she said to me, Norman, you're my boy. I can't talk to you about these things. And I said, no, just come into the dining room. And I sat there. I said, Mom, I found Christ. But Jesus, if he's alive, he's going to heal you right now. And I said, that's all I know. And I'm just wanting you to know. I just want to pray that Jesus heals you. So I go into my room and I say, no, Jesus, I really put my foot into it. Please do something for her.
Amen.
Brother, I heard my mom scream in the bathroom. scream like somebody attacking her, the growth had disappeared immediately. There wasn't hassles or stuff. What am I saying? Now, let me tell you, this is how you go. This is how you go. If God can use anybody, who prayed for you, by the way? Huh?
Joanna.
Is Joanna a prophet? Is she an apostle? Or what is she?
A good friend and a church member.
She's from ECC.
Let me tell you tonight, all that she has to be is to those who believe, these signs shall follow them.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Just have to believe. We will come with all our graces, the apostolic prophetic grace. What happened to you, sweetheart?
Pastor Martin broke my arm. And it's still healed after a year. It's still healed.
Keep that arm up here.
I couldn't do this.
Do you think Pastor Martin has the Holy Ghost? Huh?
Yes.
And so have you.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You owe him.
I do.
Let's give Jesus Christ the praise of the church.
Father, we give you the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Nobody like you. Every eye closed just for a moment. You see, when the healer is here and the gifts of the Holy Spirit is here, we need to give somebody an opportunity to find life. Amen. So if you are here tonight and you have not given your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you, just humble yourself and give Jesus the opportunity to change you just like he's changed all of us. Amen. I want you right where you are just to lift your hand. Pastor, I need Jesus. Those who need Christ, right where you are, just lift it up. I want to see you and I just want to pray with you. Daddy, can you come with your wife? Come up here. Come on. Just come to me. Sweetheart, you've lifted your hand. Come to me. Just come towards me. Just be bold enough. Jesus walked out for me. He walked out for you and went all the way to Calvary to be glorified. Just come. It's not a problem. I want you to find life. I want you to find Christ. Just come. It's okay. Just come on, Daddy. Come on. Come on, sweetheart. Wow. Wow. It's good. This is so good. If there's anybody else, just look at them and say, it's okay. It's going to be okay. Hey. You know, the love of God is so strong here right now. Never give up on this greatness that's inside of you. Believe me, you're not married yet. One day when your sons grow up, they're going to look at a man of God that's going to give them a better life than you have a good life in your home. God is going to make you give them a better life than you've ever had in your space. Let me tell all of you as you stand here, how old are you, sweetheart? You're 13 years old. This message can't be complicated, man. If a 13-year-old can understand it, Jesus is very simply, he's ordinarily extraordinary. It's wonderful. What's your name?
Callyn.
Spell it for me.
C-A-I-L-Y-N.
Wow. Let me tell you why I'm asking her. She's 13 years old. Let me tell you, I wish I was 13. But you see, when she looks at me and you look at me, I'm your future. Because you still have to get to my age. But when I look at you, I see my past. And I ask myself the question, God, isn't it a privilege that you can say to me, you must be born again so I can start over and fresh? Don't let anybody stop you from your dream. Nobody. Listen, if you blame everybody around you, son, who are you going to blame if everybody dies tomorrow? Who are we going to feel is responsible for me? And I'm telling you, I don't make, you see this father and mom here? The devil hates the fact that you're going to move away from church to Christ. Believe me. You're going to tell yourself, I mean, Here, how come it let me vroeger vertel? This generation, I'm going to pray for you. But you know what I'm going to pray for? Be hungry, son. Daddy, be hungry for Jesus. You know why? Man, I wish I could play that clip. You see, tonight I came here charged. You know what charged me? My granddaughter, 10 years old. She said, Pa, the Holy Ghost came upon me and God took me out of our church into His kingdom. 10 years old. And I asked her, Annabelle, so what is she? Says, Dad, God is saying there's a generation with boldness coming. And that generation is going to be unashamed. Now the Holy Spirit didn't come upon her because she's got a title. No, your greatest threat to the devil as you stand here tonight is not membership. You must belong to a church, believe me, so you can grow. Son, I'm still in a church. I'm still living, what? Growing, because I'm in a church. Jesus is building a church, not an organ. So I have to obey Him because that's where my protection is. What am I saying to you today? Grow in the Word. Don't grow just in an experience. Get the Word in you and then make it happen for somebody else. You with me? But first grow strong. Amen. You know what? Did you enjoy the preaching tonight? Hey? I enjoyed you being here. But I tell you something right now, I want to do something. It's not so normal. Okay, you see, while I was preaching, there was no rejoicing in heaven. Nothing. But I tell you, what was there? What's your name, son?
Dylan.
Dylan? Dylan. Oh. And you said your name is?
Callan.
C and N at the back? You see, he's got a D and an N at the back. Right? Let me tell you what this means for all of you. That devil is trying to stop your potential from being released. So every time you want to do something, you're being suppressed. And today, it's over. It has to stop. Today. Today, it has to stop. That potential in you has to come to the fore. So when I pray right now, in heaven, after I prayed for you, we're going to make a lot of noise. I mean a lot of noise. Why? Heaven is never quiet because there's people getting saved every second of the day. Every moment somebody is finding their destiny in Christ. Amen. You have brothers and sisters here. They go ballistic, but they don't even know you. It's a weird church. Lift your hands to the Lord right now. Just lift it up. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I receive Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Now, Lord, clean me up. Of all that I've done, I ask your forgiveness. Forgive me in Jesus' mighty name. I am your child according to the word of God. To those who receive him, to them he gave them the right. He gave them the authority. He gave them the power to be called children of God. Thank you, Lord. Tonight, I am your child in Jesus' name. Now give God a praise offering, everybody. Turn it around for them. Turn it around for them, Lord. Turn it around. We turn it around for your glory. Turn it around. God be the glory. Come. For those that are up here, I want you to turn around. Go with some of the folk. I want you to grow. You hear me? Let me tell you, I'm not saying it lightly, son. What's your name? You know why I'm asking you? Say this, say the vernacular name. you know what his name means? God's son. That's what his name is. That's his name. What am I saying to you? You're not anymore. What is a threat to the devil is not my preaching. What is the threat to him? I carry the DNA as a son. And God is the Father. And I leave you with that. Don't ever think just when you leave tonight, it's going to be hunky-dory. You're a defector now, brother. You're defecting. And if you had to leave my house and you're my daughter, I'd be very annoyed for you. I'd be upset with you. Because I would be saying, I'm your father. What are you doing next door? Right? Now that devil is thinking, I had them until just now. Go and live in the glory of God. God bless you, prophet.
Come on, Encounter Church. Give God a praise offering. I want to encourage you not to miss tomorrow night. It will be an anointing service. Make sure not to miss it. It is going to be a night of power. There will be impartation and activation. Amen. Come on, Encounter. Give God a praise offering. We'll be handing out cloths tomorrow for each and every one that will attend. They will be anointed. Bring the lost. Anyone that needs an encounter with God, make sure that you invite them, that you bring them with. Amen. Just close your eyes. Just raise your hands. Father, we thank you. We thank you for a demonstration of kingdom power. Thank you that you've made manifest everything that is of you in this night. Lord, we love you. We worship you. My God, I pray that even as we leave you in this night, may the residue of your presence stay tangibly upon us. May we come back even tomorrow night with a deeper expectation, with a hunger to encounter you. Lord, we love you. We worship you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.